time. 31 days, 31 podcasts. 31 days, 31 podcasts. Prepare yourself for helpful snowman quadrilling.
Spookins, huh? Welcome to another Potoween, 31 days, 31 podcasts, as it said. As was specified. So today, for those of you unfamiliar with Potoween, I don't know, go fuck yourselves. Look it up. It's been several years in a row. You can figure this out for yourself. I'm not going to waste everyone else's time bringing you up to speed. For those of you unfamiliar with this show, that's how this works. I berate you for not already being a fan of this show, and sometimes for being a fan of the show. It really doesn't matter to me which one you are, whether you're a fan or you're not a fan yet. I still have something terrible to say to you. So welcome. I don't know why I did that. That just kind of happened. Today, we're going to talk about a film. A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. AKA, you know, Freddy's back. Now, this movie has an interesting reputation as sort of the quote-unquote gay Nightmare on Elm Street.
Something is trying to get inside my body.
Yeah, and she's female and she's waiting for you in the cabana. And you want to sleep with me.
Not a totally unearned reputation. Like, as you watch the movie, and there's a pretty good documentary about Nightmare on Elm Street. It's like 6 hours long, but and it's kind of about the screenwriting and stuff that went into this one. So here's the thing. Nightmare on Elm Street, right? Starts out, well, okay. There's an interesting angle to this that I don't think has been explored as much, which is like, there's kind of this gay panic about this movie at the time. But at the same time, the first Nightmare on Elm Street, you know, Freddy has sort of become this, you know, horror character like a Jason or whoever, who it's just like, yeah, he's that burned up guy with the knife glove, right? But we've never really, I feel like people sort of forget that Freddy's origin was he was a child molester, or like a child murderer, at least. He was killing kids, and so then a bunch of parents got together and killed him because, you know, the court case got fucked up or something, and they were like, well, we're not going to let this happen, right? So, you know, but we're all upset because it's like, this might be gay. Now, there is some stuff in this movie that is definitely gay. For example, the main character, so the main character at one point goes out to a, you know, a leather bar. And I don't know if this is a gay bar. I don't know if this is like a gay bar circa when the movie came out. But everyone's in leather. I think this was like 1985. Everyone's in leather. And I think most of what appear to be women are actually guys in drag or, you know, transgender or whatever. Like, it's, you know, this is not an in-depth explored scene, so, you know, I don't know exactly what's going on, but it seems super gay, right? And he runs into his gym coach, who's there, like, in a leather vest with no shirt underneath. And then, you know, the coach takes him back to the school to make him run laps, I guess, to punish him for going out to the gay bar or something. And then the way the coach is killed, there's not a lot of kills in Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2. Until Freddy ends up at a party and kind of goes ape shit, but he doesn't even kill that many people there. But anyway, he kills the coach by sort of, he's in the shower, the coach, and he's completely naked and gets sort of lashed to death with like towels. You know, he's got like towels like whipping him, you know, the way kids would do in a shower. So he's like completely naked. There's a lot of man ass in this movie and no female nudity whatsoever. So that's pretty opposite the horror conventions of 1985. But then there's also this kind of undertone of the main character being gay. Like he's about to have sex with this girl at a pool party, you know, and then he kind of runs off because he's being possessed by Freddy. So Freddy, you know, and there's a lot of jokey lines about him being inside me and so on. you know, Freddy is basically is inside him, and at one point in a pretty cool special effect, like emerges from him and like casts him off like a shell, basically. But you know, the main character leaves his girlfriend and they're about to bang to go hang out with his buddy. Now, what I think is interesting, though, the sort of unsaid part of this movie, is that I think there's a also understanding of high school-ish male friendship in this movie that's not necessarily apparent in every other movie, right? So it's these two guys, you know, and they're in gym class together and they're playing baseball, and one of them, like, strikes the other one out or something, and then the guy who got struck out, like, tackles the other guy, or he, like, pantses him, and then they tackle and they're fighting. And so the coach makes them, you know, basically do what we would call planks these days, which is like push-up position, but you just sit there. And so, and after that, they kind of become friends and, you know, become real friends, right? And so, like, they're sitting together at lunch, and there's this great scene. This is a scene that you don't see in movies very often, or a thing that happens, which is, like, they're at high school lunch, and the, you know, the friend is kind of like a jock asshole type. But what I liked about it, he's not a jock asshole type like you see in a lot of these horror movies where it's like, oh man, I can't wait for that guy to get his just desserts. Like, maybe the first 5 minutes of the movie you're thinking that. But after that, you're just like, hey, he's fine. He's a nice guy. And so they're having lunch together. It's like these two girls and these two guys. And the jock asshole guy is talking to everyone, and he's talking with his mouth completely full. And he's, like, saying stuff, and you can understand what he's saying, but he's like, what the hell, man? And it was, like, such realistic teenage behavior in that little moment that I'm like, this movie is not getting credit for that. But I think this movie also doesn't get credit for the, like, realistic male platonic friendship of, like, I mean, we weren't really friends, and then we became friends. You know, we were kind of, not enemies, but it was just a little bit more... I think there's these friendships where guys rip on each other and stuff. This isn't every guy friendship, but it's many. And I think that's really well depicted in this movie, is where I'm going with this. So, like, I think lost amongst the sort of panic about this being so gay, and, like, is the main character gay and so on, is this other idea, too, of, like, hey, this actually had, like, A, real teenagers in it, but B, their friendship develops in a way that feels real, which was pretty cool. I did not expect to see this in a Nightmare on Elm Street movie, let alone Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which is, you know, rarely cited as the best one. I mean, frankly, it's a little boring. There's some good effects and whatever, but they hadn't quite hit on the idea of, hey, you know what people want to see is Freddy doing crazy ways to kill people in their dreams. Like, that's what you watch it for, right? You don't really watch it for, like, the kids developing a friendship. Let's be honest. And I don't know. I don't know if this is the kind of movie you watch where you're like, well, it's important that I'm rooting for these kids to not die. I watched that and the first one on an airplane. And the first one is, like, pretty good. It's got some cool effects. But you know what the problem is with the first one? If you had watched it, if you had just seen a preview for it and it was, like, a new nightmare, you know, and blah, 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 and you didn't know what it was, it would be pretty good. But living in 2018, we all know what Freddy is, right? And we all know he comes to you in your dreams. And so when you fall asleep, you see him, and he can somehow, you know, kill you in your dreams, and that kills you in your waking life. So we all know that, but you kind of have to, like, slog through everyone in the movie figuring this out. You know, because the movie kind of has a thing of, like, is the main character crazy, or is this really happening? And everyone thinks she's crazy. But, you know, in 2018, however many Freddy movies in we are, it's hard to watch it and sort of be on that side of it. It's hard to watch it and be like, yeah, I mean, she is acting pretty crazy. Instead, you're just like, Jesus, come on. Can we get to the Freddy parts already? We get to the weird part where it's the girl in the bathtub and the Freddy glove is coming up between her legs, and you're like, oh my God, that is a cinematic shot. Although very distracting, because she has this weird inflatable bath pillow that I was like, that's all I could think about. I was like, why do you need that? How comfortable is that? Is that really necessary? Isn't there some other... Couldn't you just use a towel? Couldn't you just roll up a towel instead of having this special inflatable bath pillow? Do you inflate it every time and then deflate it after you take a bath? How does that work? Inflatable bath pillow was the most noticeable thing about Friday the 13th. A Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 1. Which I guess was just called A Nightmare on Elm. You don't call it Part 1 when it's Part 1 because you don't really know that it's going to be more than Part 1, right? All right. That's Potoween for today. This is how Potoween works, right? We go over a thing. It's pretty short. But the good news is that we will see you again tomorrow. So, you know, you have a good rest of the day, and we'll catch up with you soon.